Hey, Trav.
Yeah.
What do you call a cow with no legs?
I don't know, Jesse. What do you call a cow with no legs?
Ground beef. What do you call a cow with three legs?
I don't know, Jesse. What do you call a cow with three legs?
Lean beef. What do you call a cow with two legs? Your mom.
Ouch. Ouch. Man.
So welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Black Vinyl Collective. Travis McTravington Gramps is with me again today because Greg is working all the hours in the world.
Hi.
I got a couple wrong guesses on the intro music. Remember last week we talked about how if somebody could guess what the intro music was, I'd send them, you know, a couple records or whatever. No, I've gotten some wrong guesses. That was it. So, offer still stands. If somebody can guess the intro music,
I'll send. Does that stand for me too? I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, it stands for you too. But you're a poser, right, and you'll never guess some cool, obscure, hardcore song. So.
No, you're right.
this was, I can't remember where I got this idea in my head, but out of the handful of people that listen to this, most of them are quite musical, and most of them even have home studios. If somebody wants to write and record some intro music for us, that would be sweet. Then we wouldn't have to rip off obscure old hardcore bands.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if anyone's out there and wants to play some intro music for us, that'd be sweet. Anyway, one thing Travis and I have been talking about, now all of us are going to be talking about and listening to, our top three most influential metal albums of all time. Now, yeah. that is some things and it is not some things. Travis, what are some things that our most influential albums, metal albums, are not?
They are not the best metal albums that you've ever heard.
They're not necessarily our favorite.
They're not necessarily your favorite. They're the ones that, the way I described it as how I wanted to set up this podcast theme was, these are the albums that I, when you ask me what my top three influential albums are, these are the three albums that I, metal albums. Right. These are the three metal albums that I specifically remember that like kicked a dent in me forever. Like I'm, something changed when I heard them. Things are different now, and you know, it hits you at that age. It depends where you're at in your life when you start getting into music and whatever. And I kind of jumped into metal pretty early, and this is what I was introduced to. These are the bands that kind of started to lead me down the path to find the bigger, better albums, you know. So,
and so by definition, it's not necessarily earliest either. It could be, all you know, because oftentimes the influential stuff comes real early like that. But
right.
You know, it doesn't have to be old. Although I think most of your choices and probably the couple I've chosen as well are pretty early on in our musical lives as well.
I have some. What do you call those? Honorable mentions.
That came
later. I mean, I'm being influenced by music every day, but I have the three albums that I picked were like when I was a kid, and I was still trying to figure out where I was at as a this. Am I into this kind of music? Am I a metal guy? Am I a drummer? Am I, you know, what am I doing here? And these are the three albums. They are early. I definitely had influences that came later, but these are the three big ones that I remember. Made me a different 13-year-old, 15-year-old. You know what I mean?
So, mine are not listed in order of how influential. Mine instead are listed chronologically. How are you going about sharing yours with us? What's the first one, and why is it the first one you're sharing?
I'm doing third most, second most, and first most. And I mean, I put about enough time into this to prepare it for a podcast. These might be wrong answers if I went back and listened to, you know, try to remember everything. But when we talked about a top three, these are the first three that I thought of. And the third one, the third most influential for me, was Tourniquet, Stop the Bleeding, which came out in 1990. So I got a hold of a copy of this album probably about 2 years after I got into music, like heavy music for the first time. It was Josh from Unteachers. He's been like my best friend since like fourth grade, and he and I both got into like, you know, metal at the same time, and he got a video. He got some weird promotional VHS video, and we saw a video for Ark of Suffering, and that was it. I was just like, what is going on? These guys are Christian? No, they're not. Get out of here. This is amazing. And just the fact that it was about animal rights, and just I remember the video clip with Gary Lanier playing his guitar solo, and it was like all grainy and bad looking, and they had him in like standing in a chicken coop. It was a wild video, and I remember they said they played it on Headbangers Ball, and it got banned from Headbangers Ball because they actually showed animal cruelty, and I was just like, that's badass, man. I think that's pretty cool. So I'm going to put Stop the Bleeding down as my third most influential metal album, and the song that I chose is Ark of Suffering.
You can't, Tourniquet was such a great band that, I mean, yeah, they're known for being a Christian metal band, but I think they were probably one of the first Christian metal bands to really break out of the, you know, reach other than the Bible bookstores, I think. It seemed like, you know, I've met a lot of people who are like, oh, yeah, Tourniquet's the best, and they didn't. You know, those people didn't care that they were a Christian band because they themselves were Christians or whatever. And, especially in that kind of era, which, you know, like late 80s, early 90s, was kind of the heyday for that kind of technical thrash metal. Like, there was a lot of great albums that came out around then like that.
And yes. Almost a pinnacle. Yes, I got into that stuff heavily, yeah.
And those guys were right there kind of, you know, leading the pack with all the other great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Loved Tourniquet. For me, my first choice, my first album that I pick, it's the first thing I ever heard that was not my mom's records. My mom had some good old records. She had, like, you know, Patsy Cline, which we played on the last podcast, and Ry Cooter, and I don't know, all kinds of records.
Who?
Ry Cooter, oldest
Never.
Guy.
Never.
Anyway, never some good stuff. But the first time I ever heard, I remember it was the summer of fourth grade, so I was really young, and I was, me and my, I don't even remember the kid's name, but we were playing in my friend's older brother's car. Like, we were, I don't know, as my memory plays back in my head, I remember, like, we were bad guys running from the cops after robbing the bank, and we were driving the car really fast or whatever, and somehow the car accidentally got turned on, and this just... loudness started coming through the speakers, and it was like nothing I'd ever heard, and it was like an instant it was just this instant, like, how'd you describe it, like, kicked you in the back of the head, and it was Damage Incorporated by Metallica off Master of Puppets.
Solid choice.
And it blew my mind, and you know, this probably wasn't the best choice, but I straight up ejected the tape and stole it.
Nice.
And I was like, that was the only thing I had at that point that was like that. So I love the whole album, and it's not necessarily, you know, it probably is my favorite Metallica album and one of my favorite of all time, but it's not necessarily, I don't know, it's Damage Incorporated is not even necessarily my favorite song on it, but that's the song that was playing when it turned on, and so that song for me is like, that's what got me into Metallica and everything. So
ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so let's take a break and listen to some Tourniquet and some Metallica, and we'll be back.
Right on.
So you guys just listened to a couple songs, and while we were listening to those, Travis was complaining about needing to change his answers, but it's too late. No, that's a great choice. That's a great song. That's a great album. Both those are awesome picks. And I did pick a Tourniquet song. Tourniquet was such a huge deal to me, especially as a young kid. And still to this day, Pathogenic Ocular Dissonance, despite the fact that almost every song on that album has the stupidest title ever, I just absolutely love that album.
And Phantom Limb,
you know, Pathogenic Ocular Dissonance and Gelatinous come on, dude, okay,
right.
I love Tourniquet and I especially love that album, but with the names already, it's like
yeah, well, I was trying to sound more intelligent than they were, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to set themselves apart from the thrash metal that was out there, I guess.
Yeah. No, but that's my favorite. And that's, I don't know, all three picks I have this week are kind of the more, I'd lean a little more towards, I guess, the more progressive or maybe a little more technical thrash stuff, I guess.
Me too.
Like for me, I really want to say that like Justice is my favorite album just because there's more complex kind of song structures.
Me too.
But I don't know.
But we're talking about influential albums.
Right. Yeah, Justice. Yeah. I'm getting, my bad. I'm getting off track. Anyway.
That's right.
My second pick would be pretty much anything off of Pathogenic. I absolutely love that album, and I hope that one day it gets pressed on vinyl. I know Kevin from Vinyl Remains did the first two albums, and they turned out awesome.
Excellent job. I have them both. They're great.
Yeah, they're super awesome. And Kevin and I haven't talked in a while, but it's just because we're busy. At the time, we were talking quite a bit, and we were homies. So I got a test pressing of each one. So this is me bragging and gloating and holding that over you.
So let me get this straight. You're too busy to work on getting Pathogenic pressed to vinyl because you're talking to me on a podcast.
Well, that, I don't think I have the budget for it.
You, sir, have a problem prioritizing. That's what your problem is.
Honestly, like, I've never talked with Ted or anything. Kevin released those other two, and everyone thinks I did just because Kevin and I did a lot of stuff together, and I did carry him in my store for a while, but, I think that between the licensing that the band would want and the cost and everything, I don't. And Pathogenic's so long; it's such an epic album. It'd have to be a double LP. And it would just to produce on a small scale of 300 or 500 copies would just, I don't know if you'd ever make your money back. And even though I'm not always concerned,
well, that's your problem. I'm gonna buy one. That's your problem. Yeah. If you don't make
it'll back, be right? Like the Young Teachers album. It'll just be $800 a piece.
I'll just take two.
I had a hard time picking what song to play off of Pathogenic. What's your favorite?
Why would you spring that on me without time to prep? Now I have to look up the song titles. Matter of fact, now you're gonna wait.
You can't pronounce most of them probably anyway.
I'm gonna read them all on the air just to kill time.
I think the song that's probably the most influential to me on there is probably Ruminating Virulence. That's the one
I don't remember which one that is.
That's the one about the guy jumping off the cliff. Never thought it would come to this. Incoherent utterance. Don't move the body like this. It's the
Yeah.
That I think that's probably my favorite one, and I loved it because I always liked. I think Gary Lanier sang that one, and even though Guy was a cool vocalist too, I just love that more shouty hardcore voice.
Me too. So exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And man, I love the whole album so much that was probably harder to pick a song off of than Master of Puppets, because at least Puppets, I had that first introduction to metal being Damage Incorporated. But Ruminating Virulence is probably my most influential and as well as favorite song off that album.
Okay. I would have to go through and listen to them again because I know the album inside out. I could play the entire thing on the drums because I worked on it so hard when I was younger. But I don't remember songs to song titles on this one because they are Impending Embolism, Pathogenic Ocular Dissonance, Spectrophobic Dementia. I don't remember which one goes. Yeah. Descent into the Maelstrom was the instrumental, right?
Yep.
That was awesome. I remember that part. That I love that song. That's great.
There was the one, I think the Spectrophobic one was the one that maybe I didn't get as much, but that whole album front to back was just awesome. I love Skeezix Dilemma, Incommensurate, the song about Job.
It was also their exit, in my opinion, because then when they came out with, when they had the Mass Exodus, and they got Luke Easter, and then they came out with the next album, it was Tourniquet for the first time, showed, in my opinion, that it was okay. Vanishing Lessons, that was it. Yeah. And there's good stuff on there, and there's not good stuff on there.
Yeah.
And then from there they became every album has two or three on it that I like,
The rest of the albums to me, they're all listenable all the way through, but they all definitely have their high points and their low points. I really like what's the one? Moth and Rust Destroy. I think that's a pretty solid album all the way through. A lot of people maybe didn't like Luke's voice or whatever, and I don't know.
I don't even have that one, so I it's safe to say I've never heard it. It might be great. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, Crawl to China. I didn't get.
I do remember I owned Crawl to China, and then I regretted buying it because that wasn't good. Sorry, man. Yeah. Sorry, Ted. Love you.
Yeah, agreed. But anyway, what's your enough of me rattling on about Tourniquet? What's your number two pick? This is your second most influential metal album of all time, correct?
Yes. This was a timing thing. I started taking drum lessons in 1988 when I was 13, and my drum teacher, Jerry. His name was Jerry. He was a
race car driver.
No, he wasn't. He was a he drove so gosh darn fast, Jesse. He oh man, could Primus have made the list? See, I think I have to do another one with the whole of the list.
Well, this is metal albums.
Well, what is Primus?
Not metal. I don't know.
They're Primus. Okay. Yeah. No, we'll do a top three Primus episode. There we go.
Yeah.
Anyway. Jerry got me, you know, he was heavily into like a lot of hair metal. He got into some jazz fusion guys. Like he got me into Dave Weckl, an amazing drummer who played with a ton of pop stars and stuff, but he does the side stuff. And just in talking to it, you know, he's like, you know, I told him I like Motley Crue, that kind of stuff. And he told me, he's really huge into Maiden. He thinks I should listen to some of the stuff that Nico does because he only plays with one foot. And I was listening to, like, you know, I'll get to my number one album, and I was listening to, like, heavy stuff and all thrash, double kick, blah, 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 you know. And I was like, really? A metal band with one pedal? That's pretty wussy. Let me hear what he's talking about. And he let me borrow Somewhere in Time from Iron Maiden. And, again, to go back to our rules for the list, I don't think it's Iron Maiden's best album. It's not my favorite Iron Maiden album, but I am a huge Iron Maiden fan.
And but you Somewhere lost in weight.
not much.
Side note, what is your favorite Iron Maiden album?
I think I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm not going to say Power Slave because everybody else does. I think it's Peace of Mind.
Okay, there you have it. Anyway, back to your most influential.
Right, but when he gave me a copy of Somewhere in Time on cassette, I took it home and listened to it, and dang, dude. I mean, they came out of the gates, caught Somewhere in Time, Bruce with his voice up there and everything, and just groove. Nico can groove. It's just such, I mean, a lot of my choices are based around the drumming, because that's what I do, but yeah, that album did something for me, and it had the song Heaven Can Wait on it, and that's anthemic. It's epic. It's a great song. So I'm going with the song Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner, because it's kind of an odd choice, but it was really fast. He did like a push beat the entire time, almost kind of a punky sort of a thing, and that guitar solo. Oh man, the guitar solo and Loneliness and Long Distance Runner to this day gives me the willies. I love it.
Well, those two songs we're playing, we were, Trav and I were talking about, just, man, it's so hard to narrow down. That Caught Somewhere in Time is such a good album all the way through, and Patrick is just so solid. We were kind of talking and playing riffs and stuff, and just, they're just awesome. They're really good albums.
Definitely. And
I can still, like, I play Pathogenic, and I can still, I'm instantly transported back to, like, a middle school kid laying on the floor with my buddy and trying to learn how to, you know, restring my guitar the right way and playing some crappy riff that's nowhere near anything cool like a Tourniquet album, but felt so good. You know, just play
the first, the first, the thing that I keep thinking of the entire time we were doing this list and getting this podcast together was my Walkman. I had the yellow one that was waterproof.
Yeah.
That had that fold up clip. So I had that one.
You were like a spoiled rich kid then, probably.
So. Yeah, spoiled rich kid. That's it. Actually, at least I didn't have to steal my Metallica tapes.
Well, it's funny. Like part of the reason I got into Tourniquet was because I had Metallica and I had some other stuff that I wasn't totally in. Motley Crue's first album, Too Fast for Love, which I still like to this day, but not as influential as like Tourniquet and Metallica and stuff to me. Still like it. I mean, I like every Motley Crue album, really.
Me too.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I don't know. I mean, yeah, they're dorks or whatever, but like my mom found that and it had like pentagrams and long hair and stuff, and so she freaked out and she took all my stuff away from me and she took me to the Bible book house to buy whatever Christian metal cassette we could get, and that's what I got. That's when I got Pathogenic, and that was, it was way better than most of the crap I was listening to in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I know, definitely.
But yeah, Tourniquet, that came along chronologically for me as the second one because of that, because I had Metallica and then I had some other stuff and it got taken away, so then I kind of encountered Tourniquet and it was just like, whoa, like, in my mind.
Game-changing band, definitely.
Yeah. So, what's your next one? What's your most influential metal album of all time?
Without contest, I've answered this question numerous times before. It is Extraction from Mortality from Believer. When I first started listening to music, I was listening with my dad, who listened to oldies. So I was listening to like Smokey Robinson and the Four Tops, you know, Motown, that kind of stuff. And we switched over to the classic rock thing because my parents were older. And then my buddy, Josh, again, Unteacher's bass player, he introduced me to Vengeance and Believer. He was like, dude, check this out. So I went from, you know, shoo-wop doo-wah-wa to straight into like straight up thrash, nut, just crazy music, and I just took to it. I loved it, and I told my mom that I wanna start listening to metal albums, and she was like, "Well, I don't feel comfortable with," and I was like, "But mom, they're Christian bands." "Oh, okay. If they're Christian bands, you can listen to anything you want." And I was like, "Sucker, you have no idea what you just did." So I went to Hackman's Bible Bookstore. And I bought Believer, Extraction from Mortality, and I bought Vengeance, Human Sacrifice on the same day. It's the first two albums I ever bought at the same time.
That's a big day in your life.
It's a big day. I mean, that's how it made the podcast, right? I knew one day that I would be mentioning this on a podcast. I was way ahead of my time. And as Vengeance, Human Sacrifice was a huge influence on me, and I listened to it, and Unteachers covered it on that 7-inch that you were gracious enough to put out. Extraction from Mortality from Believer, Held On, Never Let Go. That album, I bet I listened to it every day for a couple of years straight, at least once. I mean, it was on constant rotation, and the only reason it wasn't constantly being played is because then I was filtering into more music, but I kept returning back to it, and everything about it. They were local. They were.
Yeah, I was going to say they're PA guys, aren't they? So you
Did
you get to go to a lot of shows and stuff like that, or was it?
No, never saw them. I didn't see Believer for the first time until they took a 17-year hiatus and then they played in Allen. No, I never. I was like too young and I didn't get the whole, like, I didn't get how small these bands were that I was listening to. I just thought everybody was a rock star, and Believer was on an airplane with the Believer logo painted on the side, you know, because that's what MTV taught me, you know. I had no idea these guys had jobs and they were normal guys. They're very normal guys, as a matter of fact. I played on a Believer song on an album.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. They put out that album, Transhuman, and I split drum duties for the track Lie Awake with Joey. So I actually got to, like, know the guy, and he's rad. He's such a great guy. And I met, you know, I met Kurt and everything. They're great people.
That's awesome. That's cool, too.
It is cool. That is cool.
Kind of connect with your, you know, I guess you'd call it like a childhood hero or something. But
yeah, he was. It sounds hokey because he's just a man, you know. But he was a childhood hero, and for him, and he approached me. He was like, you know, I had this idea where you know, you can help me write the drums to it. I was like, yeah, anything. And he's like, you can actually record your parts, and we can just, you can use my drum set, and we'll record it. And you can lift your parts. The parts that I want, that you write, I can lift it, keep it, and then I'll record the other parts. And then we kind of like job shared for the track. So like he said about 60% of it is him and 40% of it is me, or vice versa. I can't remember what he said. But anyway, all that to say, that album was definitely my most influential one. And the song that I picked was the title track, Extraction from Mortality, just because of that insane string part. As the song comes in, it's all this classical music, and it just introduced me. I was like, classical music? You're not allowed to do that, are you? And I just felt like Believer. I started off with a band that introduced me to a higher level, and they stayed there. And then they came out with, you know, then they came out with Sanity, and then they came out with Dimensions, which was like, I still get confused listening to certain parts of that album. So they definitely were, they were it.
Those guys pull off a level of like technical metal, and usually there's like a lot of pretentiousness in that scene with people who perform at that level and who play that kind of music. Those guys, it's not there. Those guys are like, so
no, not at all.
It doesn't come across as like, oh, I've got my black nail polish and I've got
no,
you know, there's no, it's just like, oh, this is what we're doing today. We're making you know, insane technical metal record. So
yeah,
just because that's how we do it.
Joey came up on punk music, and he was into like these pictures of him wearing his Youth of Today t-shirt. That's not metal at all, you know.
Right.
And he's just a bike punk. He's still. I haven't talked to him in a couple of years, but last time I talked to him, he was all banged up because he rolled his bike in a race. And he's just like a normal guy. He's had a job at a company. Again, this is a couple year old information, but at the time that I spoke to him when I went out and recorded for that Transhuman album, it's the same job that he had when Believer got started. It's some factory or some warehouse that makes metal coils that go into motors. Like he makes those, like when it's wound coil. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I think he's like involved. He's been working there since high school.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, he's had the same job for 20, 25 years or whatever. So he's just a normal guy. And when you're a kid, when you're 13 years old, none of them are normal. These are musicians. Oh, my God, how do I get in this group, you know? And it's pretty cool. Pretty cool to circle around and realize that these guys are just normal people who take out their garbage and, you know, that kind of thing.
You mentioned another...
Go ahead.
You mentioned another band that you bought the album the same day. It was Vengeance Rising, and... That like
it was Vengeance. It
yeah,
wasn't
my,
Vengeance Rising.
My bad. You're absolutely. I was late to the Vengeance train, just partly because I was younger, I think. But
right.
Destruction Comes was my first album, and I know a lot of people kind of hated that because it was just like
I hated it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But man, that was my first introduction to it. Like. Imagine having never heard anything like that and then hearing it. It's a pretty solid album, and it's got that funky thrashy vibe to it, and he yells at the, you know.
That was Chris Hyde.
Yeah,
that was
yells,
the guy that was the drummer from Deliverance.
He yells at Chris, you know, in that one song, you know, I'm not paying you $3.35 an hour for nothing faster. And it just blew my mind. It was hilarious. And, you know,
Hit the triplets. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
And I love that album because it was one of my first real metal albums like that as a kid. And
right,
I know.
Right.
They have better albums, but it's nostalgic for me. It's I like it more though, even though it's not a better album.
Gotcha. That's fair. I got you.
That definitely tops my list of honorable mention. We had a hard time narrowing it down to like the top three album. Well, you know what? I didn't have a hard time narrowing it down to the top three. There was just a lot of leftover stuff that like, well, this was super good. Like, I've been a huge fan of Neurosis, and obviously like everything Grace and Thieves has ever done has been a huge ripoff of Neurosis. And,
right.
I couldn't pick a favorite album of theirs necessarily, but like, Times of Grace, that album blew my mind. That album, that probably is actually more influential. I mean, I heard it as an adult, but like it made me realize not everything has to be fast. Like, honestly,
right.
I heard Times of Grace, and then I went down in the basement and Justin and I started writing slower songs. You know, that's, what, like, holy
that's
crap.
What I mean. I have my list of bands that influenced me, but they just came later. Like the three albums that I just gave, the Stop the Bleeding from Tourniquet and Somewhere in Time from Iron Maiden and Extraction from Mortality from Believer, they were just influential because they were the earliest ones. If I would have bought Extraction from Mortality and been like, ew, I don't like this, and then I went in the direction of DC Talk or something, you know what I mean? But these were the albums that like were like, okay, I get this. The metal thing is working for me. I get this. Which then spawned into all kinds of different stuff, and we'll do punk, we'll do, you know, Guilty Pleasures and all that kind of stuff. But these are the ones that I remember. These are the ones that deserve to be talked about. I mean, there's fantastic metal albums from back then, stuff that you can't. I mean, like unbelievable stuff from back then. But these are the ones that formed me into what I am now.
And honestly, my third choice, I'm about to say, almost got edged out by Appetite for Destruction by Guns N' Roses, just because that album was, I mean, I think I was in fifth grade or sixth grade or something when that album came out. I remember like laying on my bed at night listening to the top five at 9 for Portland Q105 on my little alarm clock radio and being like, oh man, I really hope like Sweet Child of Mine or Paradise City made it tonight because I really want to hear that song. You know, like, just blew my mind, and I still love that album front to back. But my third choice...
Go ahead. I was going to say that the reason why I held some of that stuff back, Guns N' Roses, if you will, hair metal or pop metal, it's because this list just didn't... I can't mix Tourniquet and Stryper on the same list. But, I mean, honorable mention, Stryper, to hell with the devil. Are you kidding me? Like,
well, you can't necessarily mix it, but as far as influence, like, for me, like, I think I took a lot of Guns N' Roses and Neurosis and Metallica influence on how I play today, and I think it's fair to say, like, in your style, all those elements are there, too. So,
if we're talking
influential, yeah, they can be there, but I hear you that it's more of, like, the technical... more serious kind of stuff, less laughable. But anyway,
okay. So what's your number one?
Well, this is my number one. This is my third one chronologically.
Oh, sorry.
Master Puppets first as a like too young of a kid to even really understand what it was.
And what band? What band was Master of Puppets again?
I forget. Megadeth, maybe.
I think
Dave Mustaine wrote that album actually. Tourniquet was my second album.
Hello, me.
my third album that came along sometime after Tourniquet was Rest in Peace by Megadeth.
Heck yeah, dude.
Man, that album front to back, it's so good.
Yep.
Marty Friedman and Nick Menza, are you kidding me? Like
Nick Menza, yeah. I mean,
that whole album is amazing. And today, my favorite song off that album is different than it was when I was a kid, but... The first song, Holy Wars, is the one that grabbed my... That's the first one I heard as a... I think I was
absolutely.
In, like, seventh grade or something, and my friend Alex was like, hey, man, listen to this. What do you think of this? And I was just like...
Yep.
And then I figured out how to play it completely wrong and nowhere close, but in my mind, as a little kid who could barely play guitar, I was like, man, I just played the intro to Holy Wars! And everybody else is going, no. But,
Drums are the same thing. Snare, hi, Tom. Next time, Florida, and everybody knew what it was. And I remember the video when they were in the airplane hangar.
Megadeth is a band made for radio.
They were set, no doubt. they were set up in a giant circle, and they were all facing away from each other, and it was just a track cam. You know what I mean? They just put the camera on the little train track, and they just did the slow shot as they rolled around the band. They were all out there shirtless and they were just playing and not even facing each other, and I was just like, these guys are for real. This is legit. I really like that song.
Yeah, I love that whole album, and I like a lot of Megadeth stuff. I like their newer stuff even. The System Has Failed. And I don't know. Dave just keeps smashing. Rest in Peace is by far and away my favorite Megadeth album, and it was a huge influence. So, we're gonna roll some Megadeth and Believer in just a minute, but next podcast we'll probably do the same kind of thing with our most influential punk albums. So, tune in for that, and
please email or follow us on Twitter and tell us how stupid we are and how wrong we are, or how we nailed it, or oh my god, me too, or you guys are idiots, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, join in and tell us. You know, because I'll bet you people are going to respond. I'll be like, oh yeah, I forgot about that album. I should have added that to my list. You know what I mean?
You can find us on Twitter and Facebook, and you can email us at blackvinylcollective@gmail.com. Email us with your top three most influential metal albums. I mean, we'd probably share some. It's interesting. Most of the people who are like regular customers for Veritas Vinyl, I'm now friends with because we have so much in common. You know, so.
And you only sell 4 records a year, so it's easy to keep up with.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
So,
right. Because they're $800 a piece.
Anyone who listened to the last podcast will get that joke. So email us blackvinylcollective@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Find us on the interwebs. And if you can name the intro, we'll send you free records. And I think that's it. We'll talk to you next week, I guess.